of faith is disturbing.
Believe it.
What's going on, geeks? You're listening to episode 379 of the Geeks and Grace podcast. My name is Cody Armour, and I'm here with LJ Lowry.
Yo!
Shelly couldn't make it this week. She should be here next week, I assume. This week, we're geeking out about the multiverse.
Yeah.
Super sequels. And whether it's a key or a sword, also, it's not pink. It's lightish red.
Yeah.
They're all of it. Most quotable show in the world.
Yep.
We'll get into it. But first, we'll get into the games that we've been playing. I finally got back into God of War.
Nice.
Ragnarok. So, man, I played a little bit last night, and then I played some today, and literally started crying.
It's heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't want to say where I'm at for sure, but I... like just started like bawling. So good game.
Yeah.
Good game. If Kratos can almost cry, then I can cry.
Yeah.
I think that's the bar, you know.
yeah
such a good game. But that's all I'll say on it. I haven't really done too much. I played maybe a couple hours in that time. So what are you playing, LJ?
For the most part, I've honestly been playing more Helldivers. Like, me and my buddies are still absolutely hooked on that game. Again, I like the stuff that they're doing. They, did this thing to where they're like, hey, there's gonna be mechs, but you guys have to liberate this planet first. And then within 24 hours of them announcing that, the planet was liberated, and then that unlocked, the ability to drop mechs, like, to get mechs in your missions now. So that was super cool. I love that, like, that way of introducing new content, because then they're like, all right, so they're like, okay, cool, you want this thing, like, you got to do this first, you know. Like, I think that's super neat. They're introducing like a new battle pass type of thing next week. It's like another season. There's going to be more content there. Yeah, it's just super fun. Like, it you just drop into a planet and just try to survive and take down, you know, these robots and bugs, and there's just, it's a good time. It's utter chaos.
It seems like a really cool concept.
Yeah. I want to see that concept in, like, other things. Like, everybody's like, oh, that would really work as, like, a Star Wars game or a Clone Wars game specifically.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, dang. I was like, that's, it would work like that. And then, like, Halo, and then, like, I'm thinking, I want, like, a fantasy world or something to be, like, instead of doing, like, planets or, like, a solar system, you do different regions of, like, a giant map, like Middle Earth or something. And then whether that's, like, orcs or whatever, you know, or, like, you know, that's why, like, right. That's why I stretched it further into, like, fantasy, because there's so many different enemies.
You want to ride dragons? You got to go...
Yes.
Get the dragon horde and go get the dragons.
Yes, yes. Like, you know, there's just so much you could do. I think, I hope it becomes a new subgenre. I think that'd be cool. The other thing I do want to I've been in a mode lately, especially since Akira Toriyama passed away. I got back into Dragon Ball FighterZ a little bit. They did put out a PS5 upgrade a while back, like 2 weeks ago. But ever since Toriyama's passing, I've been doing a new, like, art piece that I've been working on. But I've also been playing a little Dragon Ball FighterZ here and there. Like, I feel like I watched a lot of TV and movie stuff this week, so I didn't play a ton of video games. But that has been fun to go back to. Like, that's one of those games that looked pretty when it came out. But it's like, I'm playing this on my PS5, and I'm just like, wow, like, how did you manage to make it look even more crisp and more nicer than it did before? So I've been getting back into that, so that's been a fun time killer. But yeah,
Toriyama, absolute legend.
Mm-hmm. It didn't hit, that one hit me big time. I was like Robin Williams.
Anime, I don't think, would be what it is today without Toriyama.
Definitely. Like, there's people I'm sure that know Goku. It's almost like Goku's definitely like a Superman in a way. Like, everybody kind of knows who Superman is. Like,
mm-hmm.
Everybody kind of knows who Goku is, but most people, it's like, oh, that's that anime character, you know. Like, I'd say Goku is just culturally important, just as important as Superman is, like, you know, stuff like that, if not more, you know. Like, just to have your work, like, spread around the world like that, and have so many nationalities, you know, like, I saw a thing, and I don't know how accurate this is, but there was a thing I saw on the internet that said the cartels even had a ceasefire on the day that
I heard about that.
I'm like, you know what, though? It makes sense, because like I know these, you know, I know Spanish speaking, you know, families and people that like, you know, like they, you know, they grew up watching Dragon Ball Z just as much as I did, if not more than I did. Like Dragon Ball Z was on the Spanish channels in Southern California, you know, like where I lived at. So it's like, I get it. Like I told I'm like, that makes sense to me. So, yeah. So it's just been cool to like celebrate that and just, you know, think about like all these cool, not even just Goku, but like all these cool characters and these plot lines that like came out of that, you know? So yeah, it's been good. Good to go back to some DBZ games.
But yeah, for sure.
That's kind of what I've been up to in the gaming realm.
Cool. Well, we'll get into the gaming news then.
Yeah. So I am super excited for this first piece of news. I've been waiting for it for a minute. They revealed today, the devs revealed that Multiverses is coming back. This was my game of the year in 2022, just because I it was so good. Like when I went and did my own streaming thing for a little bit, like it was so cool to, like to get into that, because like it had like it broke records of like player counts, you know, like across all platforms and stuff like that. They went offline because, you know, people wanted updates and things to be worked on, and it was still technically like in an early build. But, you know, they did some ranked betas and stuff like that. They were doing things, but it was just never enough to be like, oh, we're going to stay on, you know, or I guess they didn't have the capacity or the manpower to keep things running while they worked on things. So today they announced that Multiverse is coming back on May 28th. And yeah. So it seems like the shutdown was perfect. It's what they had to do, because they ported the game into Unreal Engine 5, which enables them to make it look prettier and do a lot more things with it. They're gonna add a PvP mode. Some characters are gonna be reworked. I believe all of our progress that and everybody who's gotten into it, we're not gonna lose any progress. We're gonna keep everything that we did before, which is nice. And they said there are gonna be some new characters, obviously. New stages hinted at Powerpuff Girls and Dexter's Laboratory. So that would be legit. To get some characters.
See Powerpuff Girls.
Yeah. Like, even Mojo Jojo would be cool. Or Dexter's Lab. I think of, like, you know, all the random characters from Dexter's Lab, too. Like, yeah, so I'm excited for it. I'm going to be jumping back in on that, like, hard. I think it's cool. It's going to give this game another shot. And they did say this year, so they're sticking to it. I'm super excited. I enjoyed that game so much. So yeah, Multiverses is coming back. I feel like I'm one of the few people who's like super excited about it. But I haven't really been on the internet today to see if anybody else is. So, but I'm sure once it comes back, it'll be back. It's gonna be free to play. They haven't like said they're gonna like start charging for it or anything. So hopefully that when it comes back, like hopefully the community is gonna come back and check it out. So yeah, it's hard to keep games like live services going. So
yeah,
I'm glad this is coming back. Yeah. Anyway, we did get some Mario stuff today, or yesterday.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
As we're recording this, so even farther back on Mario Day.
Yes. So they did reveal the release date for May is going to be, that week of May is going to be awesome because Multiverses, and then Paper Mario and the Thousand Year Door is coming out that day, or May 23rd, like so that same week. And I'm excited. Like the last Paper Mario game that came out, I was kind of like bummed by it because they changed the combat system to this weird thing, and it just, to me, it was not nearly as good as like the other ones. But Thousand Year Door is like super popular. They're re-releasing that. That game's gonna have new features and stuff. Like,
I enjoyed it. It'd be worth playing for me again.
Yeah, like I never played like the. I know Super Mario RPG just came out, which is cool. Like. I do want to check that eventually, but Paper Mario is the one. That's the one I played. Like, that's the one I'm excited about. Mm-hmm. They also announced Luigi's Mansion 2. That HD version is coming out, I think, like, a month after in June, which is cool. I still want them to do the first one again. I know they did it on, like, 3DS before the 3DS kind of went away. But like two was good, but I'm like, I want to just give me the first one again. Two was on, actually two was on the 3DS, and they had a lot more like bite-sized missions. I think there was like more shorter missions. I think there's going to be like a bunch of co-op features in that one too. So that'll be cool.
Never played a Luigi's Mansion.
Three is really good. I got three when it came out. I never finished it, but Luigi's Mansion 3 is pretty good. Like that's the one, that's one of those games that I revisit like every October, like just for a little while. So that's, to me, that is a seasonal game. Like, you know, if, for October. So, and then, no Donkey Kong 94, but we got three games coming. Actually, I think by the time this comes out on March 12th, we'll have Game Boy Color versions of Dr. Mario, Mario Tennis, and Mario Golf, which are all supposed to be pretty good. So
I remember Mario Golf for like the N64.
Yeah, see, in that era, I remember Mario Tennis for that too, but I never played the Game Boy Color games. But the ones I really would want are the Game Boy Advanced versions of those games, because they did come out with an advanced version of Mario Tennis and an advanced version of Mario Golf, and those games are RPGs, like within like the story modes, like are RPGs. You play as like a random kid, and you can like level up your stats and play alongside the Mario characters. Like, so those I would be really stoked about if they did those. Yeah. But maybe eventually, but these Game Boy Color ones are probably going to be worth checking out too. So yeah, we got a lot of some good Mario stuff yesterday. So
I think this last one too, I'm going to mention, cause I think they're misreporting this on, we're looking through Kotaku's as our source. They brought a Lego Mario Kart set coming next year, and given that information from Twitter, unless they have inside information, I think we're getting a Lego Mario game.
It's a Lego set. They've been teasing. Teasing it.
That far away? Because the tweet says, and maybe I didn't watch the actual. Was there an event?
Let's see. Let me see here. I'm gonna go look at this real quick. Lego Mario Kart teaser.
Ready, set, go.
Whoa, hold on.
Lego Super Mario Kart release in 2025.
Let's see. Lego Mario Kart tease for 2025 and new Lego Super Mario set revealed. That's on somebody's blog I saw right there. It might be both. Let's see what the...
How cool would it be to get... Because Lego Racing was great.
Lego teases Super Mario Kart for 2025 and other Nintendo sets. So, it may just be a set, but I think you're not alone in that. It sounds like some... It does sound like some misreporting.
Ooh, I'm saying, if we get a Lego Mario Kart game, I'm weird. So in.
Yeah.
I loved Lego Racing. I think that was also for the N64.
Lego had a bunch of good racing games. They just had one called 2K Drive, which I think was kind of different, but it was a similar concept. Okay. Like you can build out your cars and stuff. I mean, either way, a Lego set's kind of cool too, but a game would be really interesting if they actually did a thing. But you're definitely not alone in thinking that it might be both.
Hoping that,
yeah.
That it could be both.
Yeah. That's why I wasn't even going to mention it at first, because I'm like, I think it's a Lego set.
Yeah.
But
if it's a game.
Yeah.
That's why I'm like, why would you announce a Lego set for 2025?
Yeah.
Because that's so far away. That's something you announced. It's coming out next month.
And those Mario sets are pretty popular too, apparently. The only one I've like, it's expensive, but I'm like, oh, that'd be fun to build that Bowser. Like, that's the one that I'm not a Lego person, but... Like, that looks sick, though. So a Mario Kart thing would be fun, too.
Will be cool as long as they don't do a thing of, like, you have to buy the Lego set to get it in the game kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a monstrosity. Would be really easy for them to do, so I hope they don't go that route. But, yeah, I would play a Mario Kart Lego for sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
We'll get into the movies we've been watching then. LJ, you saw Dune 2. I talked about it a little bit last week. What did you think?
Yeah, I saw it on Thursday, and it basically took up my whole evening in a good way. It's just one of those movies, like, I lost track of time when I got out of the theater. But it was in a good way, because I enjoyed it. Like, I didn't really feel like there was anything, any moments that were super slow. There was a couple moments where I'm like, okay, we could probably move on, but I really liked the story beats of it, and you really start to see, like, it definitely gets, like, the way the first one ends, you're kind of like, okay, cool, like, all right, this kind of sets the stage. And then the second one has a way of being like, okay, we're in it now, you know, like, this is happening. And then from what I'm told from a coworker who has read the books, she says it gets a lot nuttier, and it makes me wonder, like, how far they're going to go, because I think they're only, the main director's only planning on doing the three, so
right.
If they decide to pick it up after that, it gets nutty.
Yeah.
So, I want to see more. I really want to see where this goes now. Without, like,
I think it was canceled. They had already talked about doing one for the Bene Gesserit, the sisters.
Oh, okay.
I think it's called The Sisters on HBO Max.
Oh, that's right.
That got canceled, but who knows? They could, if these continue to be successful, I'm sure that they will want to do more.
That story gets, it sounds like the story gets progressively weirder and weirder, which makes me wonder, like, how are they going to, like, adapt that?
I do love my worship pastor at my church. He's watching it for the first time. He's never read the books or anything. And so he's only seen Dune 1. He didn't see Dune 2 yet.
Okay.
And he goes, oh, cool. Is this like a sci-fi retelling of the story of Jesus? for those wondering.
I'm like, no.
So far from it. Like, the polar opposite.
It's definitely like a tragedy. Like, to me, like, it's a modern Shakespeare play, almost. Like, it's a modern Shakespeare story, because it only feels like it's getting worse. I do not think that what's happening is going to get better in any way, shape, or form. it's wild. And then, like...
Yeah, it's
it has
all
you,
fed on...
Yeah, and, I mean...
I don't want to give anything away.
I know, it's kind of hard to talk about. It had me thinking afterwards... whether the things they say about the main character are, like, actually, like, is he really, you know, going down this path that I've heard about, or is he smart and he's playing the long game? And I'm like, I don't know. It sounds like all bad.
Yeah. Like, either way, it's not great. That
either way, it's not good. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where it's like, there have been very few movies where I've walked out of the theater and had the theater been, like, quiet. Like, mind you, there wasn't, like, a ton of people that day. We went on a Thursday evening. But it had already been, like, almost a week before, like, after it had come out anyway. But even so, like, the people that were there enough where it's, like, everybody was just quiet, walked out of the movie, and I'm just like, yeah, that's how you know it's a good movie. Like, you know? I mean, it could be bad, and, you know, but, like, at least my experiences, maybe that's, like, the third movie I've walked out of that's been, like, super silent, where everybody's just processing everything that's happened. And even me and my stepdad went to eat.
Funny enough, the movie that I watched will probably have a similar effect in theaters, or would have had a similar effect in theaters.
Let's go with it, then, because that's the movie I watched.
So, I watched Silence. We talked about that last week. After talking about Shogun, which LJ and I will probably talk a little bit more about Shogun this week as well. Great show. Shogun takes place in 1600 BC.
Mm-hmm.
No, not BC. What? 1600 AD.
Yeah.
And then the movie Silence happens in 1630.
Mm. Okay.
So about 30 years after the events of Shogun. Really interesting, because Shogun is a historical fiction and Silence is also a historical fiction. Not in the same universe at all. But historically, the events are the same.
Yes.
They're happening around these characters.
Yep.
And so it was really cool to be able to contrast these two together.
Mm-hmm.
Shogun, LJ kind of brought this up in the last podcast, has a lot to do with Catholicism and the inclusion or the introduction of Protestants into Japan.
Yeah.
Silence is 30 years later. Kind of spoilers for Shogun, even though Shogun's not finished yet. 30 years later, Christianity altogether illegal in Japan.
Yeah, so Shogun, it's interesting because there is, like, at that point, there is no Shogun, like, when the show begins, and it's like, This, like, it's kind of like, oh, like our old ways are probably in danger of going away forever, kind of a thing. So yeah.
Yeah, I feel like the show will probably lead up to the, and I've never read Shogun the book, so I don't know. But
and this the show's only going to be one season. It's a miniseries. Like they have said, nope, we're not doing any more. This is it.
Which yeah, because it's based off that one book, and they don't want
to. They add on they to wanted to make the show because of the ending, is what I heard. Because the way the book ends, they wanted, and which has me excited to like watch even more. I'm like, ooh. Yeah.
So if you want more, you can watch Silence.
I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna wait till I finish Shogun, and I'm gonna watch Silence after, just so I can see the correlation, you know, between the two. Like, I really want
it's to. Really crazy to just watch. They seem so excited about the idea of Christianity. Some of them do Christianity within Shogun, and then in Silence, it is illegal, and there are just random like pockets of people that are still worshiping in secret and in silence. Hence the movie name. So it is about a missionary that was in Japan. They hear that he has defected and he is now no longer a Christian and that he's living there with a Japanese wife. And so Andrew Garfield's character and what's his name? Kylo Ren.
Adam Driver?
Adam Driver set out to go find him. And so they go to Japan looking for him, and it is all about the persecution of Christians in Japan during that time. It's will really make you think. It's got a different feeling, LJ. Be ready
again,
for that.
Again, I love how Andrew Garfield went on this little like journey, you know, with his like exploring faith. Not necessarily that he is a believer, but he even did like Hacksaw Ridge and like a couple other movies.
Yeah, so interesting.
A couple other things. Like I'm like, you know what? I respect that. Like I really do. Like
it's... he's not a Christian, but Jesus is his favorite person. If you ask him,
that's cool.
According to some of the interviews he's been in,
I like that.
But it'll really make you question a lot of stuff. So, I wouldn't say that you have to be strong in faith to really get it. But the question that arises is religion. Is your religion, your personal religion, so important that it matters over the lives of others?
Because
it should matter over the life of you. You know, it should, like, it should, you know, be uncomfortable for you.
Yeah.
But if it's literally killing others, harming others, then, like, should, like, is that religion still important? And so that's, like, just a question that they have to wrestle with in the movie, as well as idolism. A lot of these Japanese Christians, they had these idols. They had these pieces that kind of reminded them of who God was. They don't have a lot because they didn't have Bibles or anything. And so they were worshiping almost these emblems of Christianity.
Yeah. I mean, the cross is a very present symbol in Shogun. And they even one of the characters even gets asked, like, oh, did this conflict with your faith or whatever? And it's like,
yeah,
you know, I thought it was interesting.
You'll see a lot through the show, so they have to step on, and this is some spoilers, but the movie's worth watching even if you knew what's happening. They're forced to step on the face of Jesus, and it's literally just a metal imprint of the face of Jesus, and they step on it to say that they're no longer Christians, and so it symbolizes no longer being a Christian. But for the people that were persecuting, these are humans. They don't actually want to hurt anyone. They're like, just for the love of God, or not God, I guess in this case, step on the emblem so we can move on and not have to kill you. And these Japanese people were like, oh no, we're so strong in our faith that we will die for it, and we're going to step on this. But are they really dying for their faith, or are they dying for their stubbornness?
Right.
You know, is stepping on this thing, even though it symbolizes denouncing God, are you actually denouncing God? You know, could you do more with your life if you stepped on it anyways and then lived out your faith in other ways? It'll really make you think. It's a lot of stuff that
I like movies that do that.
Yeah, you start to go, what would I do in that situation? I think for me personally, and I'll just throw this on the podcast, I think that I probably would step on it pretty quickly. If that makes me weak my faith, you know, so be it. But I just think that if you are a Christian and you're living in a very godless world, that you could probably do more good alive than being.
It's an image. I'll step on it. You know, like it's just an image. You know.
Yeah. That thing you're stepping on is.
But to them, you know, I guess I don't really. I'm not going to say anything about Japanese religion because I don't know about it. But I feel like they are a very like symbols, like kind of in spiritual.
Symbol driven.
Yes. Yes. Symbol driven kind of thing. At least.
Yeah.
If I'm wrong, I'm wrong about that. But still, like, I just
well,
feel
no,
like,
I think you're onto something. You think of like feudal Japan and honor,
like
you know, before
Christianity, like
honor
was idols, everything. You know, like idols and symbolism and, you know, like clan, you know, markings and stuff like that. Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, if you live in a culture where your honor is everything, to mm-hmm. where you know, I mean, they're literally
having to step on the face of your, you know, I guess is considered like oh, like.
Well, I can't remember, forgive me, suicide. I can't remember the name of it that they would do
the
if they were dishonored. Yeah. So if that's your culture, mm-hmm. Then stepping on this thing is a dishonor to your God.
Yeah.
If you, you know, you love your God, then you're not going to dishonor him if honor is everything to
mm-hmm,
you.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's understandable. Yeah. It's just the question of like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I humble myself by stepping on it, I guess. I'm not.
Yeah.
My God is greater than.
An image or
an
a picture
emblem that we stepped on.
Yeah,
but yeah, it'll make you ask a lot of questions. You know, I wasn't there.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I would definitely say that their faith in whether or not it was kind of like their actions were misplaced, their faith undeniably probably stronger than my own. It is like this fictional story, but true things are happening there.
Mm-hmm.
That persecution actually happened.
Yeah.
And the fact that they are able to go through so much pain and torture for what they believe in is that makes them more courageous than me, for sure.
Mm. Oh, definitely.
I would hope that I could do that, but I never
right.
want to be tested in it.
Right. I need to see the movie to definitely like be able to like know, but you're like, I feel that like just,
yeah.
you know. We're human beings, you know. Like we think we're good, but we could be easily broken. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Outside of the realm of faith conversation, the movie itself is a little slow. It is 2 hours and 40 minutes, and it is
Gosh.
Not an action-driven.
That's the same
movie
length
by
of
any
Dune.
Means.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And a lot less is happening.
That's crazy.
So kind of be ready for that. It's a Martin Scorsese movie.
Oh, that's
and
right.
So you kind of know what you're getting to when you hear that name. But it'll definitely make you ask some questions. So I think it's worth the watch, even though it can be a little on the boring side for some.
Mm.
We'll get into the movie news then. Couple sequels happening.
Yeah.
I think both of them were not surprising announcements. Barbie 2 is not necessarily happening. I shouldn't say that. Greta Gerwig wants to make Barbie 2.
Hmm.
But that's not greenlit yet, so I feel like as well as the movie did, probably gonna make a sequel.
Oh yeah, I don't know.
And then, oh, go ahead.
I was gonna say I don't know how you could, but I guess that's the point. We don't know.
Yeah, that was weird for me too. I was like, I don't know where you go from there.
Yeah,
they did a pretty good job with it, but the other movie is Super Mario Bros. 2, and. That just makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
We knew that was coming. And that is for sure officially in development. Should arrive in April 2026.
So far, my theory is kind of... I kind of theorized that they would do a Mario 2 before they would do anything else. And so I guess that's going to happen, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe we probably won't. You know, we probably won't see this expanded universe thing, you know, or whatever that we want. But I definitely knew a sequel to this would be coming before anything. So that's exciting.
We might get our NCU.
Yeah.
But that's the movie news. Nice and short. I do wish that Shelley was here to give her thoughts on Barbie 2, because I'm sure she has them.
Yeah.
May have to bring that up at a later time.
Oh, yeah.
You can always tweet at her on Twitter, and I'm sure she'll... Is it her Shellshock 24?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't think she uses it much these days, but I'm sure if you tag her, she'll respond.
Yeah, if you add her, she'll be there.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's all the movies. We'll get into TV. Shogun.
Yeah, I still.
Are you on episode 3?
No, not yet. It's one of those shows that's been like a slow burn for me. I've had a really busy like last couple of days, but when I've had the chance to like sit there and enjoy it, I've like enjoyed it. It's super good. I definitely found myself like doing a lot more drawing and stuff this weekend, but Shogun's definitely one of those shows that I feel like I've had to like take, not in pieces, but like I feel like I have to just take it in, because you know it's interesting how they do the interpretation, you know, and like they, you know, have the translators and stuff like that, and they stick to the actual languages for the most part, you know, like, so I think that's really fascinating. I'm like, oh, cool, like you guys did it instead of being like, oh, they speak English for whatever reason, you know, like,
so yeah, I was surprised they didn't go kind of a Vikings route where you start off in a language and then it kind of morphs.
Yeah, I do like, they do this scene whenever they're first talking to Pilot. I don't know if he has a name at this point yet, but that's kind of just what they call him, as Pilot, you know, the English guy. And then when they start talking, and they introduce the translator, they kind of just go back and forth. So it's like, basically, they just told the audience, okay, he's translating. You know, just have that in your mind, you know, like, so like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like, I like the way they did that. Instead of using that whole scene to be like, here's what he said, you know, like kind of a thing.
His name's John Blackthorne.
Okay, yeah. that's right. So yeah, it's really good though. I need to get to episode 3. I'm definitely on episode 2 right now, but it's good. I just find myself I feel like it is one of those things where it's like I have to pay attention to it when I sit down and watch it, because otherwise I'm going to miss something. I like it. It's so good. I think it's, so far it's been awesome.
Yeah, so. I think, I don't know if it's to its benefit or detriment, but like you said, you really do have to pay attention to it, because so much of it is subtitled.
Yeah.
But it's not all subtitled. So you kind of, you'll hear some English, maybe start looking at your phone for a second, and then be tied back into like, oh, no, I watch this show.
Yeah. And I like that. Like, and it's definitely this thing of like, you know, like we talked about with like cultures and, you know, different cultures and changing, you know, the changing of like times and stuff like that. Like, I thought it was interesting the way they set that up, because they're like, oh no, the Japans were hidden, you know, like, by Portugal and stuff like that. Like, it happened to be a really amazing transition, because I was playing, before Helldivers, I was playing a lot of Skull and Bones, and I basically just binged all the Pirates movies, well, 3 of them. So it was this, it was this weird, like, I didn't know the show was going to have that kind of setup, like, to introduce us to this world, and I'm just like, oh, I couldn't have been on a pirate kick at a better time.
For sure.
And then it moves me on to this, and I'm just like, oh, this is cool, a perfect setup. And it's a good way of introducing an audience, I think, to a world that they're unfamiliar with. And the move to use their actual proper languages is bold, and I'm glad they did it. I think it's cool.
Their world seems so much more real, I feel like, than any like other Japanese pieces that I've seen.
And it's not just like, oh, here's samurai, they're gonna fight, you know, it's just like, oh no, like, this is political drama.
So built out, and you get to see just like how they live in these cities.
Yes.
And that was all really crazy to me. I will say, you mentioned, you know, samurais fighting. Choreography, I think it was in this 3rd episode.
Yeah.
Choreography, not amazing.
There hasn't been any fighting yet as far as I've seen. So I'm like, I'm okay. I'm okay with that though.
Yeah, choreography is not, it is not a kung fu movie. And so it was someone with a spear, and they were just like batting it like back and forth. And I was like, okay, well, they didn't put their budget into the choreography.
Yeah.
But other than that, like, it's much more about the political intrigue, and I'm really loving the political and clever writing.
That's why when I got on this kick for like the samurai kind of theme stuff, instead of being like, oh, I'm gonna go play Ghost of Tsushima again, I went to play Yakuza Ishin. They have a Feudal Japan spinoff of the Yakuza games, and so that one is definitely more political centered, and like, you know, has some, you know, like between some of the clans and stuff like that. So I'm just like, ooh, like I know what this show is gonna be. Like, I know it's gonna be political, political drama, first and foremost. And
it actually probably deserves the title Game of Thrones more than Game of Thrones does, because it's literally like a game to get to the to be Shogun.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. Yeah,
it's
it,
cool.
It is fascinating, like, just how they have to deal with that. And like, I like how they do a really good job about showing flashbacks, and then kind of advancing too. So I think that's that's been a nice part of it.
Definitely go watch Shogun. It is mature.
Yeah, I didn't say that, I guess, like, initially last week, but it was one of those things where I'm like, okay, it's on FX and Hulu. I think you assume there's going to be some nudity, there's going to be some violence, you know, like when we talk about shows like this, especially if it comes on FX and Hulu.
So, I didn't know. I haven't watched TV in a while, so in my mind, FX is still a cable channel that would do, like, they wouldn't have that kind of stuff.
They're getting, even when they had their cable for a while, they were starting to get heavier, especially with, like, American Horror Story and stuff like that, and Sons of Anarchy. Because Sons of Anarchy was on FX, too.
There wasn't any nudity in Sons of Anarchy.
Was there? I don't remember now.
I don't think so. I think it was all implied.
Okay, that makes sense.
They had literally, like, a porn studio.
Yeah. It's been so long since I've seen that show. But, yeah, especially with their partnership with Hulu. I think it's becoming more of, like, a production... Not more of a production studio, but there's definitely, like, a quality you expect with FX stuff now. Because, like, The Bear... which is a really good show. That's also an FX show. Not that has a bunch of nudity and stuff, but like, it's definitely more mature.
Disney, man.
Yeah.
Using that Fox name.
Yep. I mean, you can even watch some of that stuff on Disney Plus now, especially if you got Hulu. Like, it's weird.
The other thing I'm watching is Delicious Dungeon.
Nice. I need to get back to that.
I think there's only one more episode coming out Thursday. Nice. That'll be it. From just the events that have happened so far. What's really interesting, and I knew this was going to happen, it is not, it's been all about the cooking so far. There was just a hint of political intrigue in this last episode. And I was like, are we going to have a little bit of deep story? Is this going to go completely off the walls to what they were doing? And it's a silly anime. I don't want to compare it at all to Shogun. But the fact that it's not just this whimsical cooking thing, there might actually be some depth to the show. Was very interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
So far, the show's not deep. It's just
Like that's what I found.
Monsters.
I haven't watched a ton more of it, but that's what I found interesting about Solo Leveling, because I thought it was going to be that kind of thing, like, oh, here's a world where it's like a video game kind of, you know, there's these hunters, whatever. Mm-hmm. But then they start getting into some of the political stuff, like, and I'm like about like they're like the resources that they collect in these dungeons or whatever. These government people being like, oh, we actually want to use that for energy. And I'm like, okay, like a clean energy. And I'm just like, oh, okay, like I don't think that's something one of these shows has ever done before. So, like, I'll have to see how far that goes in that show.
Yeah.
So that's weird. Sure. I wouldn't have expected that out of Delicious and Dungeon, though.
Yeah, it's a very small hint. I don't know. Interesting. If we'll even get another season, but I was like, oh, okay. You go.
You got something up their sleeves there.
Yeah. What else are you watching, LJ?
Let's see. Resident Alien. I started watching this last night. I thought this show, for whatever reason, got canceled or something, but it's on this, like, it's on its third season. Resident Alien is a sci-fi original starring Alan Tudyk. And, I think it's gaining popularity, at least from what I can tell from streaming, because I think they have the first season or two on Netflix, and then they have all of it on Peacock. So I just decided I do have a Peacock account that I am not using. Other members of my family are, but I'm like, oh, this is on here. I got friends that are watching it. And the concept is basically... dang it. Sorry, I had to mute for a sec. The concept is, like, think like Invader Zim, but, like, live action. So this alien gets stuck on Earth and kind of keeps to himself for as long as he can until things happen. And so he's trying to interact with the people of this small town. And they're kind of like, oh, you're just kind of a weird dude. You know, like, there's Alan Tudyk is great. He's so awkward and so off in such a way. It's like you can't help but, like, laugh out loud. He's so good. I think anybody who likes Alan Tudyk already is, like, gonna, like, love this show.
I can't imagine not liking Alan Tudyk.
I mean, I don't know. Like, you know, just, you know, if you know who Alan Tudyk is, or you're a fair fan of his work, this is definitely.
Yeah. I'm so sad for the people that don't like him.
I mean, I don't know if there is any people that don't like him. I was just saying, like, if you enjoy his...
I mean, everyone... There's got to be someone out there that's like, man.
Yeah. If you enjoy his stuff, though, I think, this is a definite watch. Netflix is the most common place you're going to find it on. I mean, I don't know how many people have Peacock these days. If you're a fan of The Office, you probably have Peacock now. No, it's good, though. I really enjoy it. It's super funny. It ends up becoming this, like, murder mystery kind of a thing, because, like, he ends up watching TV for 4 months, and all the things he learns are from Googling and television. And so he's, like, a big fan of Law and Order.
Okay.
I'm, like, that's as much as I'm going to say, because it's, like, you know, and I'll kind of just leave up, like, oh, like, I'm going to leave that up to people if people want to watch it to find out, like, oh, what actually happens, or how is he the character of Alan Tudyk, like, on Earth, and, like, what happens. But it's just him in the span of 4 months before these events actually start happening. It's just him, like, taking in the world that way and kind of keeping to himself. So it's super funny. So I do recommend it.
Mm-hmm. I was trying to find the Leaf quote from Firefly, but I can't find it.
Basically, yeah, that's the setup of the show, though. He almost ends up a leaf in the wind again when he lands on Earth. So
you cut out, I didn't catch it.
Oh! The joke was that he almost ended up a leaf in the wind again before he landed on Earth.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
leaf in the wind. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. I had to throw it in there somewhere after you said it. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
How do you clean a Reaver spear? You just run it through the wash.
Ooh, dark humor. Good. Anyway.
Someone's mad at me.
Yes. It's almost like sharing the Full Metal Alchemist memes of like the Edward memes, you know?
Yeah. Like,
you just don't do that to some, according to some people.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Anyway, it's really good. I highly recommend Resident Alien.
Cool.
Yeah.
We'll get into the TV news. We've got a few different things here. I think the biggest is the fall of Rooster Teeth. They are shutting down after 21 years.
That's huge.
Because Warner Media can't find a buyer. Never offered it to me. Someone gave you $10. I don't know. This was my childhood, man. Or not my childhood, my high school. My formative years.
The beginning, Red versus Blue was like the beginning of YouTube. Like, that's when YouTube was coming up, was like when Red versus Blue came out, and when Rooster Teeth was like in its infancy. It was weird because the most I know about Rooster Teeth is Red versus Blue and then Ruby. Like, I know they do some other YouTube, they did some other YouTube stuff and other content, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But that's about all I know. I watched, and I haven't even watched that much Ruby. I watched like the first 4 volumes. Let me tell you, I've probably listened to the Ruby soundtrack more than I've actually watched Ruby. Which
I need to get caught up on Ruby. It's been a little while.
I'd be down to kind of see what's happened with that.
And then you noticed you mentioned another show that I really liked. I can't remember the name of it.
Genlock?
With the mech suits. Genlock.
Yeah. That was the one that had this like, all-star had, like, cast. Season,
it was
right?
Amazing. Yep. Only one season. Definitely set up for more.
Yeah.
I think maybe I got some comic books. I'm not sure. But it had, like, David Tennant in it.
Yeah. And
Jordan.
Yeah. Like, Dakota Fanning, like, I think, was one of them, too.
Yeah. A ridiculously good stat. Maisie Williams.
Oh, that's right. Maisie Williams, for sure. I don't remember. But, yeah.
Crazy cast.
I never watched it.
Canceled. It's good. It's a good watch.
Ruby was definitely... I realized why Ruby and Justice League crossovers were a thing when I saw this article, because I didn't know Warner Discovery owned them.
Yeah, neither did I.
I was like, ooh, like, that's rough. Warner make it and Discovery have been making some weird decisions, but this is not... That part of this isn't news. It's just... It's definitely the end of an era.
Oh.
Huh?
This is interesting. I need to look this up. Though not intentional, it's only appropriate that our last season of Red vs. Blue coincide with us, navigating this closure together. Is there another episode of... Red versus Blue?
I didn't know they were still making Red versus Blue.
I thought they were done. I have failed on the reason that they've closed. They had done like a show. Red versus Blue gets this like from season 1 to episode season 8 or 9, I think. It might be 7. Are like a full story.
That's crazy.
I'm looking through here.
So then they probably start going with later games, using later games for that stuff.
And then I'm trying to look through. There are 24. There's 17 seasons.
Cool. So it's still been going then.
Yeah, that's insane. I need
to
check.
So this here's out. How we keep Red versus Blue alive: is somebody needs to do this with Helldivers. Somebody needs to do Red versus Blue concept with Helldivers easily.
Some of these are really weird looking. But, like, one of them has live action people in it. I don't know what's going
on. That's weird.
But, anyways, Red vs. Blue, so it has this really good story after season 3. So, season 1 through 3 are just these ridiculous goofy antics. Yeah. Like, it's so silly. Some of the characters don't have real personalities. Like, they're just kind of like the skeletons of who they turn into. And then they slowly become really like in-depth characters that you can kind of care about. Yeah. At least I do. And then I don't remember what season it is, but there's a season where they bring in the director and they reveal that there's like this huge overlying plot to Red versus Blue. And that whole arc is seasons long and it gets really, really good. And then once that was over, they had another season come out and it was these weird, awkward shorts. They had nothing to do with the original series. In fact, I think they're like popping in and out of dimensions, maybe. I can't remember.
Weird.
And so that's where I left off, because I was like, oh, they're not actually making Red vs. Blue anymore. They're just making this, whatever this
yeah,
is.
Yeah, and I think I've heard that it gets kind of weird, and I wonder if a lot of people just dropped off when they started doing that stuff.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people didn't like the plot stuff either. They were like, I didn't watch this for the plot. If I want plot, then I'll watch the actual, like,
I'll go Halo play Halo, yeah. Like,
yeah. But I loved, where Red vs. Blue, like, went for a while. So I'll have to check all of this out. It says 2021. Oh, these are all released 2021. So I'll look into that and see what they decided to do. If they started putting, like, another story arc in it.
Yeah.
Epsilon and Alpha and Omega. It was a good show. Probably one of the most quotable shows. I still quote it probably on a weekly basis.
There's a few that I remember off the top of my head, but that was like those two are it that we did, you know.
Yeah. It's not pink, it's lightish red. My favorite is the there's so many of them. I don't know. I was going to say the puma.
Yes.
Like, I call it the warthog. Like, puma. Like, what's a puma? You're making that up.
Yes.
That's very early on in the show.
That's one of those things I might have to rewatch again at some point. Just because, like, I feel like every couple of years I probably, like, or at least, I know there was a couple of years ago where I binged, like, the first couple of seasons and then that was it.
It's so... Caboose being scared he doesn't want to catch pregnancy.
Yes.
Go in the room.
Yes.
Stages. Or
it used to be on Netflix. I'm gonna see if it still is.
That'd be cool. What was the other one? Was I could just this whole podcast could just be me quoting, but they go, Caboose, I can't believe we're gonna ask you this, but can you drive? And he goes, yes, but only stick. I never learned automatic.
Let's see.
Show's so good. But anyways, and then Ruby. I fell off of Ruby, and I need to get back into that as well.
The first three or four volumes were really good. We don't know where any of these shows will go
with them shutting down the studio.
Ooh, it might be off of Netflix now. I don't see it.
I wonder how long we have until... I hope they put it somewhere. But...
Yeah.
Yeah, Ruby was very formative for GUG in a lot of ways, at least this podcast. I feel like we all kind of came together through.
Yeah, well, like, and then really as connected. I remember that year, like after in 2017, I got way into it. And I even downloaded, like, I bought a couple of the volumes on Amazon because that was like before they were like super accessible. And like, and that was like what I watched on my trip to PAX was like the episodes of Ruby that I had left over. Yeah, like,
so just, we played through a whole game of Ruby's Grim, whatever.
There is another video game that came out after that too, and I'm like, I gotta see what that is, because that could end up being delisted at some point now to think about that. Like,
yeah, with them having shutting down, a lot of this could be lost, so hopefully it's not. We don't know yet. We'll move on from there though. Rooster Teeth, thank you so much for everything that you provided for me growing up. You probably informed my humor more than you should have.
A lot of people.
Yeah.
A lot of people's humor. Oh, yeah.
Avatar, getting two more seasons, the live action. I guess it's a good thing. I'd rather them finish this out than
not.
It just be done.
I will say this. I think it's just because better shows are coming out, and I've also been watching better shows. But, like, I still don't have issues with it that other people have. I'm just like, whatever. But the more I watched
it's hard to watch it when Shogun's out.
Well, yeah, and the more I've watched, the less interested I found myself. Like, you know, like there are definitely issues I could see with it, which I'm like, okay, yeah, like, but those aren't really issues that break the show for me. It's just there's a lot of more interesting things I want to watch. Like, I like the original Avatar. The original Avatar is like really good. But it's not one of those shows that, I guess because I watched it way later, it was not, like, I didn't watch it, like, I mean, I guess a lot of other people have memories with it. Like, a friend of mine and his wife, that was one of the first shows they watched when they were, like, dating or whatever, you know? Like, so I'm like, I get that. That's why you probably have information, like, or that's why you feel the way you do about the live-action shows, because you have memories tied to it. It was part of a part of your childhood. But I'm like, it's okay. Like, it's not bad. Like, I really don't think it's that bad. It's just the show I want to watch the least right now.
So. Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. But I think it's cool they're going to finish it out. Like, I want to see Toph. Like, Toph is my favorite character. I definitely feel like the other day I discovered, because I was watching TikTok clips of Toph, and I think that's where I got my humor, because I joke about my vision all the time at work. And I think that's where I got my humor from, like, my self-deprecation humor from. So, like, I guess I have a connection there, too. So I want to see, like, how they do the next couple seasons. I'll give it a shot just to see them finish it.
Yeah. And then Fallout TV show. They kept calling the Fallout TV show Fallout 5. Apparently that's not the case, because Fallout 5 is in the works. Todd Howard told the makers they couldn't do certain things because they were already doing that in the video game, which is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully it's not. It makes me think, I don't think it'll be that bad, but it makes me think of DC with the Flareo universe.
Mm-hmm.
They would tell them, oh, you can't use this character because we're going to use them in the movies. It's like, oh, you can't do that. But this seems more like it's about events and things, and so I guess that almost makes me more excited
so
for Fallout
5,
the video game.
Yeah, I think it's because the headline was getting thrown around that, like, I think he got misquoted for a while, because then they're like, oh, Todd Howard is saying that the show is basically Fallout 5, and that's why he went, no, it isn't, because we're still working on it, you know?
He's like, we're making Fallout 5.
I'm so excited for this show. Like, just Walton Goggins. Walton Goggins is one of my favorite actors. And I'm just like, yeah, I want to see that dude cook some more. But it genuinely looks really, like, it looks good. But again, looks can be, you know, deceiving. But I have high hopes for it.
And that is our news, though. Do you get out about anything else this week?
No.
No. All right. We'll end the podcast there, LJ. Where can we find you at?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at LJ the Paladin.
Cool. And you can find me on Instagram at Cody Armor. Keep gaming, keep praying, and God bless.
Peace.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Geeks Under Grace podcast. We love hearing from you, so feel free to ask us questions or just comment on the show by using the hashtag GUGcast on Twitter, or by joining the GUGcast questions channel in the Geeks Under Grace Discord. If you like this episode, consider leaving a review or rating of our show on your favorite podcast app. If you want even more Geeks Under Grace, You can always go to geeksundergrace.com. We love you all so much, so thank you for listening.